In this episode, we take a look at Mars and Jupiter in your natal chart. We discuss what those planets represent, what your sign and house placement means, and how knowing this can have a huge impact on your life.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We're going to talk about Mars and Jupiter in your chart today.
Okay, the people are going to love it.
Backed by popular demand, astrology aspects series. I love talking about astrology.
I do too, and I like how we kind of pepper them in so that like the people got to wait for it, but they're also super excited when it comes up.
Yeah, and you're not like, this podcast has become just it's about like, astrology.
Right. We're not drawing on.
Hopefully not.
Well, depends on who you ask.
That's true. Okay, so let's start with Mars. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're talking about in your natal chart. If this is the first time you're jumping into an episode, I would suggest you go back to some of our basics on astrology, and then you can come back to this episode. It'll just help you. If you don't feel like doing that, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but I'm just making a suggestion. We have a whole natal chart episode.
Yeah, we have many.
Check them out.
Yes. Okay.
Houses, planets.
Yeah.
Rising signs.
We got it. We got a little bit of everything for you here at the IGG.
Yes.
Okay. Mars is such an interesting planet in your chart. Both Mars and Jupiter, I bet off the top of your head you don't know.
No.
I didn't know off the top of my head.
And I honestly feel like I've looked at my Mars 1,000 times and I like black out about it. I just can't remember it.
I think that we're supposed to go back to it a lot.
Right.
Like I think your sun sign, like your big three.
Yes.
They could be a little bit front of mind.
Yes.
And I think that makes sense for operating in the world.
Definitely.
But sometimes I think in astrology, that happens because you need to kind of go back and sit in it and like do some Googling for different descriptions of it to find the one that makes sense to you.
Right.
It's like you have to kind of keep coming back to it in a way.
Exactly.
I think it's designed that way.
Probably.
Okay. So this is what Mars represents, and it's why you're going to Google it so much, because it's basically everything that gets you riled up in life.
Yes.
It's passion, motivation, your drive. Your work and your purpose are here.
Right.
But you're going to also hear us reference work and purpose in this sign. Like, I really think if you think of it more as like passion work, like we've all had jobs that we didn't feel any passion for.
Yes.
I would assume. One would think.
I have some trauma about it, actually.
Yes, you do. But if that's, the stuff isn't going to apply as much to those jobs.
Right.
But you're also going to be like really confronted with the question of like, why am I doing this if I can't find any passion in it?
Right.
Okay. So work purpose, yes, but only if you're passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just energy in the sense of like how you energize yourself to take action.
Okay.
Any kind of action taking. It sheds light on your sexuality, what drives you. I always have this moment in it. I'm like, I've already been through all of these thoughts before, but every time I look back into Mars, I'm struck by how similar your relationship to like purpose work and like going out and being passionate in the world is with sexuality and how they mirror each other.
Right.
I know people get like squidgy about sexuality, but like what drives you, what fires you up, what makes you comfortable, like all of that stuff is the same in your sexuality as it is in like your work.
That shouldn't be so surprising.
No, it makes sense.
But because of how, like, the way sexuality has been misconstrued in our society, they're always sort of separated when they should be together.
That's a really good point. Because, your work is, like, celebrated. Like, your passion for work is, like,
right. Like
everyone wants everyone to see that. Like,
right.
Look at this, right? Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to sexuality, you're supposed to be like a lot quieter about it. And that doesn't really make sense either.
No, it doesn't.
No. So they're both the same. So if I'm talking about it and you're thinking of it in the workspace, just also think about it in the sexuality space too, because it will help.
Because it's a driver. Like, passion is a driver for sex. Or for work, or to meet a goal, or like, it's just a good driver.
Also, sex is a real gauge for what else is going on in your life.
Right.
How you're feeling in that department, how that's got all of that.
Excellent point.
It's not just a gauge for a relationship. It's a gauge for a lot of things.
Correct.
So keep that in mind too. This turned into like a sex talk.
I love it.
Okay.
You never know. We haven't done that in a while.
No. how you cope with anger and aggression.
I feel like Mars has sort of this like bad rep of just being like this very aggressive planet.
Well, Mars is the god of war. I don't know if you all remember back to the Mercury episode where I said Mercury was the god of war by accident, and then people got mad, and then we had to do a whole episode. Two people were mad about it.
Well,
but then we had to do obsessed about making a mistake. Whatever.
Oh yeah, we did a whole episode of mistake making.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
But anyways, here we are. This is the actual god of war. So I think it makes sense that you would have aggression and anger and like some rage stuff here, but you also have to think that like you're only experiencing anger and rage and like aggression because your passion got dialed up.
Exactly.
So far. Like that's part of that.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
So even if you're just like a little excited or you're like aggressively murdering people, that's a form of passion.
Right. That's something I've like had to come to grips with myself, is that like, I'm just a passionate person about like pretty much anything.
Well, I feel like passionate people get called sensitive all the time. And I think the term passionate is a way better description of what we actually are.
But that's why I get so fired up about things.
Wait, you get fired
that's
up?
That's true. It's true.
Well, I think we're both those kind of people. Like, I think that like people who are like that need to be with people who are like that.
Right.
Because otherwise it becomes... you're like, people don't understand why you're upset about the world being on fire.
Exactly.
And they're just like focused on this little thing. And you're like, I can't relate to you at all.
Correct.
Because I have to lay in a pile for a little while.
This is a huge deal.
Yeah. I'm going to be in my bed hiding.
Right.
I'm going to process it and I'm going to come back and I'm still going to be mad probably. Mm-hmm. But we just need to be around each other.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. How you attack and defend. Mm-hmm. I love thinking about this.
Same.
I put my research down for a few minutes and was like, let me think about this for a while.
Nice.
But not just like a person.
No.
A problem, an issue, people you love. Mm-hmm. It is all of this information is described in detail in your Mars.
Yeah.
Also, attack and defend is what you're doing all day long, every day.
Yes.
You're just thinking of it like you're in a physical fight. But
it's,
yeah, it is survival.
Right.
Yeah. How you fight and what you fight for. I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
This fuels your ambition and gives you a sense of direction.
Why wouldn't you want to know this about yourself?
You would want to know this.
Like that's why astrology is so important.
Yes. It's not just like a
party
favor trick. It's a real thing. Okay. A few fun facts about Mars, because you know I have to do fun facts.
Yes.
Yeah. It spends about 2 months in a sign.
Okay.
It goes retrograde every 26 months.
Okay.
And it takes about 1.88 years, Earth years, to go around the sun.
Okay.
All right. So similar timing.
What we're doing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I am a Taurus when it comes to my Mars. So my Mars sign is in Taurus. We know
same
I have
as
a
your
lot
sun.
Of, yes, we know I have a lot of Taurus in my chart, which if you know me would surprise you
0%.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm gonna read us.
We're not looking at our phones to be rude, by the way.
No, we actually have our
watching on the
Sanctuary
YouTube.
If you want to sponsor us. We have our Sanctuary app open on our phone to tell you more about our signs.
Correct.
Okay. So if you're watching on YouTube, we didn't just decide to text each other on the side while doing the podcast.
We're just paying some bills over here.
Yeah, I mean, we are good multitaskers, but I don't think we'd go that far. So I'm going to read something that I found about Mars signs. So we don't need to read that, but I do want to look at our houses on here. So, I'm Taurus. I'll tell you more about that in a second, but I am in the 10th house.
Okay.
So Mars in the 10th house, individuals with Mars in the 10th house seek prestige, often rising to the top of their class in career, but their ambitious nature can be mistaken for cockiness, making them a target for sabotage.
What?
That is very accurate when it comes to me and work and passion. It's like 110% go to number one and then look around and everyone's like, who the hell is this lady?
And like, fuck her. We're going to
fuck. Let's all gang up on her. And I'm like, hey guys, what's wrong?
Oh my God, yeah. I was just trying to do a good job.
Yeah, I was trying to do my best.
There's not a word of that that isn't accurate. That's incredible.
Okay, so you're a Gemini in your Mars, and it's in your eighth house. So tell us about the eighth house.
It says individuals with Mars in the eighth house are investigators, always looking for buried meaning, but they may lose focus when tasked to work on anything they feel lukewarm about.
Tell me there's anything that's not perfectly true. Someone could have written that just about you.
Yeah. It's true. That speaks a lot. So it sounds like my ADHD also.
I was going to say it gets distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like looking for hidden meanings.
But also it talks about you have to be passionate about it to do it.
Yeah. I really do.
It's true.
Yeah.
But like unearthing the stuff, being an investigator. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what you started to go to college for.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
Okay. So before we tell you our, tell you like about the sign we're in here in Mars, I just wanted to do a quick recap of the houses.
Okay.
And just say, when you're looking at what house your Jupiter is in, don't just read the description. Look at what that house represents.
Yes.
Okay. So if mm-hmm. Mars for you, which is the planet of work and like passion, falls into, so for me, it's in my 10th house. The 10th house is about career and authority. So it's about your work and it's about power. So the fact that Mars is there means that most of the things I'm going to feel a lot of passion about mm-hmm. are going to have to be career oriented, or I'm going to make a career out of everything I'm passionate about. Very accurate. Or I'm going to need to be the leader of all the things.
Right.
Also very accurate.
Yes.
So what I mean is don't just look at the description, go like, okay, for me, Mars and passion is in this house. So this gives me this good information.
Right.
So for you, it's in the eighth house. And so that's transformation, birth, death, and sex.
Perfect.
That's exactly where your passion and stuff is coming from.
True.
So is that's yes. also important to look it's at very is my true. Point. Where that's does it fall? True. What information can this, you know, give me that's helpful? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I liked that this is from Astro Style. I liked these descriptions of our Mars placements the best.
Okay,
so Taurus and Mars. With Mars in earthy Taurus, this is about me, everybody. You are industrious, practical, and tenacious. You'll work tirelessly to obtain financial security, mostly because you like to be comfortable. Yes, but also because you like the finer things in life. Sensual by nature, lavish decor, gourmet dining are total turn-ons. To a point, yeah. You'll spare no expense when you've saved up to treat yourself. You've got the worth ethic and patience to keep the coffees full. That's also true. Mm. Okay. So I'm just like skipping through. Mm-hmm. You may prefer the stability of a 9-to-5 or a steady, safe bet over anything entrepreneurial, but this can limit your wealth building goals. So you may be wise to develop a greater risk appetite in this lifetime. That is my early 20s.
Yeah.
Extreme stubbornness is a pitfall of this Mars placement. Yes. And then it goes into some of the sexy time things I like, which are not exactly true, but they're sort of going into like scented candles and playlists and feasts in bed. But I'll just say is that like I do like attention to detail and like a thought being put into it. Yes. It's just not in those areas.
Intention. Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. So you are Gemini, Jay.
Yes.
So if you were born with Mars in Gemini, the way to your heart and bed is through the mind.
That's true.
It is. You are aroused by stimulating and intellectual conversations. Brainy racketeers will have you at hello or a few witty exchanges thereafter. This is true in the fact of like you like people who are not super muggly, who are smart or like have a different opinion. Like you're very drawn to that.
Clever is a word.
Perfect word. Yes. Mars in this expressive sign, you might actually get aroused by a heated debate.
That's not true.
I think if you took out the word aroused and said fired up, then that would be true.
Yes, that would be true.
Okay. let me skip down a little bit. This is all about your sex life. I'll let you keep that to yourself. You have an ability to boil down complex ideas into simple sound bites.
Hello, that's why I'm here.
Welcome to the IGG. But just also, there I think we're both verbal processors.
Yes.
But when I can say, like, I have this concept and I can tell it to you in this, like, complicated, windy way, and you can say it back to me in, like, three words, and I'm like, oh, perfect. That's definitely you. You make an excellent teacher and tweeter.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mars and Gemini can make you argumentative and sometimes prone to flying off the handle about minor grievances.
Potentially.
I mean, I don't think that happens a lot, but I could see it happening sometimes. This is a result of not vocalizing your needs or clarifying your feelings.
Yes.
Yes. It can be helpful to scribble those thoughts in a journal or engage in talk therapy. I say look at your Mars and look at just the house in general that it's in and what that house represents.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the sign and then read the description of the house.
Yeah.
Wherever you'd like to. And look at a bunch of different ones. We say this every time, but like if the first one you read doesn't totally hit, go like Google a bunch more.
Right.
I also thought it would be fun to tell you, like, based on your sign in Mars, what you should do for a workout.
A workout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because exercise actually falls into the Mars
sign. That makes sense.
Okay. So however you feel about exercise, that's up to you, but I'm just going to tell you. So Mars and Aries, they say go hard or go home. So this is like exert, push yourself to the limit, kind of like boot camp Ironman races. Okay. This is neither of us.
No, sir.
So for me in Taurus, it's the solo sweater. This is me.
That is you.
So it's, they tend to prefer exercises that build strength over time. A great workout might be Pilates. They like to work out alone. This is true. I do my Apple Fitness by myself and I do strength training and Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, look at that. Nailed it. Okay. This is hilarious. Gemini, which is Jamie, is the queen of mixing it up. Gemini is known for its fickle yet extraordinary mile-a-minute mind, which means that a Gemini Mars is prone to boredom and also loves variety. I would like to know all the people out here who have ADHD, what is your Mars in and is it Gemini?
Right. Exactly. It sounds so much like that.
I know. So they may do well with ClassPass or something that allows them to try something new on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And this says Gemini rules the lungs. And so Gemini Mars needs cardio in their routine.
Ugh.
You love cardio.
I hate it.
I know you. I'm joking.
That tracks though. Like I would do something till I was done with it.
Yeah.
Like yoga.
Well,
and then go do the next thing and then move on.
You're not going to want to commit to a workout for a year.
No.
Or a week. Just the day is good.
That's
fine. It's right in your chart. Why fight it?
Exactly.
Mars in Cancer is the class connoisseur. So like taking classes, group classes is really good for them. Mars in Leo is the cardio lover.
Mm-hmm.
These are the runners of the world who run long distances. If I'm running, something's chasing me.
Agreed.
Mars in Virgo is the early AM riser. These are the people who get up really early and work out like every day and they don't miss a
beat. What sign is it?
Virgo.
Okay.
Mars in Libra, the perfect accountability buddy. It means that you need an accountability buddy.
Right.
Yes. Mars in Scorpio is the hit lover. So just like high intensity.
Yeah.
I think people with a Scorpio sign need to like wear themselves out to do it for sure. Mars in Sagittarius is the adventure aficionado. So these are people who want to be like rock climbing and hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn is the team player. So playing like a team sport is great. And then Mars in Aquarius is the social sweater. So you're also going to want to be in the group classes.
Gotcha.
It also says that Mars in Aquarius want both physical and mental stimulation when they're exercising.
Oh, okay.
So you might maybe like learn a dance routine or something where you have to like think or like martial arts sequences.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
And Mars in Pisces is the Zen seeker. So you're doing the yoga.
Gotcha.
Yep. And
this is all on Well and Good.
Wellandgood.com. You can find all of this once you look up your sign.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to talk about Jupiter with you, Jay, but I think we should take a quick break.
Yep.
Recalibrate.
Okay.
And then jump in to the crazy sign that is Jupiter.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Goes great with podcast listening.
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep, beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee, can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah, check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week. Okay. This week, I don't really know what it is, but I think it's interesting. I just wanted to share with the class.
Yeah.
How you and I think this is true for all people.
Yep.
How you and I can both like something,
mm-hmm.
but for completely different reasons.
Well, I think we're going to be talking about TV shows in a second.
Yes.
But what's funny about us is that in most areas of life, we have the same opinion about everything.
Yes.
And we see the world in the same way.
Right.
But then when you put us in like, hey, why don't you guys watch a reality TV show?
Ugh.
We tend to differ in how we feel.
Yes. But I did find one reality TV show that I liked. Well, and then loved,
yeah.
And then obsessed upon.
Well, we've talked about both Loving Alone, and I think we're the same on our opinions.
Oh, yeah.
See,
I don't even consider that enough. Like, I know that is a reality show.
We're talking about, like, a little bit trashier reality TV.
Yeah. Well, my daughter and I got caught up in the, all the hullabaloo, if you will.
You just sounded so old when you said hullabaloo.
I know. Oh, God. That's how I feel when I'm watching it.
Like, you're in a... Like a state of hullabaloo.
Yes. But we get caught up in the whole like Scandoval thing on social media. We're like, there's not many things on social media that I'm like, I don't know what is happening here.
Oh, okay.
Like I usually know.
You usually
relevant, like things.
Yeah.
And I was
or
like,
a quick Google search
yeah,
will lead
exactly.
you to it.
Or
yeah, yeah.
generally about it. And
right.
I was like, Tom Sandoval, what the hell is this? And so we started watching Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it.
This always cracks me up about us because if you know us and you know our aesthetics and you know what we like, if you're like, which one of you loves Vanderpump Rules and which one of you does not enjoy that, you would think I would like Vanderpump mm-hmm. Rules and you would hate it, but it's the other way around.
Or like, who loves like a Hallmark Christmas movie?
It's you.
It's me.
You're the problem. It's you. Yeah. I hate them. So like, it's just so funny. Like you're the edgier, darker, cooler person.
Like political fascists, like
yeah.
posting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
but then you're
like
putting
Hallmark
on your
movie.
Christmas pajamas and watching a Hallmark movie and like enjoying it. But don't let anyone tell you, you can only be one sided
well,
and you can't be complete. Like just like what you
I'm
like.
Versatile.
I'm more of a like Real Housewives kind of like trashy right. TV kind of thing.
But Lisa Vanderpump is from The Housewives.
Yes, and then she has her own show.
Vanderpump.
But the Lisa Vanderpump on The Housewives is very different than the one on Vanderpump Rules.
She's a little different.
Yeah.
I love
that's
her.
Fine. They're playing characters. We know it's not real. We get it.
Do we? I don't know.
Oh, well, I do. Jamie doesn't.
Some of it's real.
Okay.
Some of it's real.
This is the most chaotic, obsessed episode we've ever done.
But this is my point. Like,
yeah.
you like that show.
I
and
do.
And I had a really hard time
you
switching
like
over
it.
To Housewives because...
Yeah.
And what was... We figured it out.
Yeah.
You watch it,
Like, it's a soap opera.
Yeah, I'm watching, same as I would watch Days of Our Lives or something. Right. I'm not thinking that this is exactly what's really happening.
And I'm watching it like it's a documentary.
Yes, and you're like this
how
is a...
How dare you do this and say these things and act like this?
This is a representation of how humanity is how you're watching it.
So it's a lot more stressful for me.
But you also get like, we both get invested, but you get like a different kind of emotional invested where like you're holding a grudge against these people.
Yes.
And I'm just like, can you believe that bitch did that?
Yeah, like the character arc is crazy this season. And I'm like, how could that person ever say that? Like it's like serious.
It's like your family did it to you. Right. Instead of a stranger. Right. Yeah. But I also think I like to watch it because I love human interaction in a different way than you love human interaction. Yes. You want the Hallmark human interaction where everything ends
happily
up.
Happily ever after. Yes.
And that doesn't happen on Housewives. There's no happy ever after.
So happy ever.
No. So I like the ooh, that person triggered that person. For what reason? Do we think that they have an issue with this? Like, that's what my brain's doing the whole time. So I think the point of all this is just like what you like.
Yes.
It's okay.
It's okay to watch Vanderpump and love it.
I mean, what is happening on Vanderpump now?
We're waiting for the next season. Now I've done that thing where you watch all of the seasons.
Okay.
And catch up. And then you're like waiting for the next season to come out.
I see. Okay. I would just like to say that Lisa Vanderpump.
Love you.
I'm sure you're listening to our podcast.
I love Lisa.
If you are, Jamie would really like to meet you.
And Ken.
Yeah. And also her daughter Emma would like to come.
Oh my God, Emma.
If you guys could have her to like the restaurant, maybe.
Yeah. We'll go out to.
Yeah.
Sir.
Okay.
Sir.
Yeah. I mean, I'll come, but I have some questions. So like what you like.
Yes.
Figure out why you like it. Figure out why it's bothering you.
Yes.
And go from there.
Yeah.
No shame. All right. Let's talk about Jupiter.
Okay.
Jupiter is the planet of expansion. How you take risks and leaps of faith all tied into Jupiter. So if you listen to our episode on the hero's journey, if you looked at your Jupiter, you're going to kind of understand a little bit more of what that journey is going to look like for yourself.
That's a great point.
Optimism, like how your brand of optimism, really, because there's different kinds of optimism.
Interesting.
I love this. Your brand of extra in your Jupiter.
Nice.
Yeah. Wait till we read it.
I was going to say, jeez.
It's the planet of luck. Mm-hmm. It's where this is in your chart is where you are lucky more naturally. So you don't like, it's just kind of flows to you here a bit more than other areas.
Okay.
All right. Abundance. So wealth. Now money is going to be in a bunch of different planets and places, but the energy itself of abundance sits here in Jupiter and your connection to it and your relation to it. Philosophy and wisdom.
Okay.
So the way you philosophize the world is right here. It's very important. Your spiritual world views, including like your religious views, that's under that same category, should you have them. The kind of risks you're willing to take based on intuition rather than facts.
Okay.
So pro tip, if you would like to manipulate someone, look at their Jupiter. And you're trying to get them to do the thing and like stop looking at the facts and just be stuck in logic and listen to their intuition. Mm-hmm. If you understand their Jupiter, you're going to have a much easier time coaxing them.
Manipulate in our terms.
Yes. Not like because you're a narcissist and you're
shitty.
Right. Like get them to be where they want to go.
We're all manipulating everything all the time.
Constantly.
Right.
Yes. I'm sure I've said that in 80 episodes, but it bears repeating.
Right. It's one of those words that has like the wrong definition in our society.
Yes. Okay, Jupiter is also your approach to learning.
Okay.
So if you have a child in school or you yourself are in school or learning something, look at their Jupiter. Okay. It's going to help a lot.
Okay.
because it's not just how you learn. It's not how you take in stuff. It's none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like your clairs,
right?
But it's your approach to learning.
Okay.
Like, how do you see learning and taking in new information? Mm-hmm. Because most people have like real highs in that and real lows in that.
Yeah.
Like things they love and things they don't like, things that motivate them and things that stall them out. So understanding that in your Jupiter, hugely helpful.
Right.
Okay. You ready for some fun facts?
Yeah.
Jupiter stays in the same sign for about 12 months.
Wow.
It takes 12 years to go around the sun.
Hmm.
So you experience a Jupiter return mm-hmm. when you're 12, 24, 36, 48, 60, 72, 84, and 96.
Wow.
So if you pay attention to those years,
right,
that's when Jupiter is returning, and it's typically a like good luck abundance year for you.
I love that.
Yeah. So pay attention.
Yeah.
We both passed our year. That was really good. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I was too busy. But keep an eye out for that. Okay. Let's look at ours.
Okay.
But let me also talk about the houses here in general, because I think that's very important. Again, if you're watching us on YouTube, we aren't texting each other. We're on the Sanctuary app. Please sponsor us, Sanctuary. Okay. So for me, my Jupiter is in my fifth house, and the fifth house represents self-expression, romance, and creativity. So if I want to call in abundance or expansion or growth, I am going to need to go into self-expression and creativity in order to do that.
Right.
You're going to have to feel those ways. Do I have to? No, that's probably not the right way to say it.
Right.
Would I like to align with it and have it be a little bit more easier?
Right.
That's how you're going to do it.
Yep.
Now, for you, yours is in the ninth house. Mm-hmm. So that's your belief systems, higher learning, and travel. So basically, if you want to expand, grow, call in abundance, it's going to come down to like real staunch beliefs you have and fighting for them. That makes a lot of sense for you. I would just like to say. Okay.
How do you make money off?
I don't know what sign represents like needing the answer immediately, but that is you. Yeah. I hope that when we read your Jupiter, we see that in here. Okay. So I'll read more about them, but my Jupiter is in Sagittarius and yours is in Leo.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. But let's look at the descriptions of the houses. So for me, Jupiter in the fifth house, it's individuals with Jupiter in the fifth house are passionate and fun, but need to develop restraint to avoid too much of a good thing.
Huh.
I would say this describes me while eating.
Hmm. Gotcha.
But I also think it makes sense in other ways. Like, I do think I have a bit of an obsessive personality. So, like,
bring it in a little.
Yeah. Like, if you're like, hey, do you want to take some classes? It usually takes people a year. I'm like, oh, I already finished them in 2 days.
Yeah, you just did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense. That's true. What do you got?
Jupiter in the ninth house are lucky voyagers,
mm-hmm.
but may find themselves prevented from putting down roots.
Ooh.
It's actually really true in my life.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm. Okay. I want to read yours first for the Jupiter in Leo.
Oh.
This is also from Astro Style again,
because
I liked their descriptions. Okay. Jupiter in Leo, bigger, bolder, brighter. The spotlight loves you, darling, especially when it comes to upholding and defending your belief system.
It's true.
You have the double beliefs, though. It's also in that house.
Yes.
Okay. You live out loud. Oh, I also just want to say that I'm always telling Jamie that she's a spotlight person, even though sometimes she tries to like cast herself in the role of like the side
supporter.
The supporter. And I'm like, you were born in the spotlight, dear.
I was.
Okay. You live out loud with your ideals, shouting them from the rooftops in a dramatic fashion that could make you everyone's favorite guru or keynote speaker. Yes.
Yes.
Can you over dramatize? Yeah, that's how you make the money. Can you over dramatize? Absolutely. You're kind of an excitement junkie. If you're going to stir the pot, make sure you have a constructive goal in mind.
Mm.
With your Jupiter in romance junkie Leo, maybe that's why you like Hallmark movies, you spare no expense or expanse when it comes to love and might rack up frequent flyer miles with Cupid as your co-pilot. A long distance or cross-cultural relationship might be your jam.
I mean, not as of yet.
I do think that you put a lot of I don't know if work is the right word, but like energy into relationships of all yeah. kinds. So I think that part of it tracks for sure.
Yeah, I also do have a husband who leaves for 24 to 48 hours at a time.
I don't know how you manage that.
Not exactly long distance, but you know.
It can feel that way. Two ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Jupiter in Sagittarius. So that is double rainbows. You were born with Jupiter in its domicile power position, since this planet is the ruler of Sagittarius. Love knows no boundaries for you. With your global mindset, you thrive while traveling and mingling with people from different cultures. Mm-hmm. Endlessly curious and a student of life, yes, you are drawn to philosophy, religion, or spirituality.
Yes.
Can confirm. You're also a born entrepreneur with epic ideas and lofty visions, and you're willing to take some serious leaps.
Yeah.
But learn to look first. Still haven't really learned that, but I'm working on it. Know the difference between a calculated risk and a gamble. Restless Jupiter can make a great visionary, but you may struggle in the role of producer or project manager. With your independent spirit, you may still try to do it all by yourself. Yes, it could take a few tough and expansive lessons before you learn the power of teamwork. I'm still working on it.
Well,
I mean, we're a team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't let many.
I mean, I'll take a like a producer and an engineer though.
Okay.
For the podcast.
Please, can we call them in? Am I blocking it? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Ultimately, your positive energy and faith will shore you up. You're naturally lucky in one way or another. You always land on your feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I thought.
It's interesting.
It might, again, that was astrology style, if you want to look at that. I thought it might be interesting to tell you some celebrities that have our same Jupiter signs.
Oh.
Okay. Would you like to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So celebrities I share Sagittarius Jupiter with are Jared Leto. Can we think of him as like my so-called life, Jared
Jordan
Leto?
Jordan Catalano?
Yeah, yes. Not like cult leader.
Yeah.
We should do an episode on him.
We did. We talked about him in the cult episode.
I know, but I'm thinking maybe a whole episode.
Such a bummer.
Okay. Henry Cavill.
Oh.
Chris Hemsworth. Adam Driver.
That's a handsome man.
I know. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Nice.
Idina Menzel. King Charles.
Nice.
Prince Andrew. Amy Poehler.
Love.
Okay. Are you ready for your fellow Leo? I may have been in a spicy mood when I wrote these ones down for you.
Okay.
Joe Rogan. Robert De Niro. Tyrese. Jamie Lynn Spears.
What?
Chevy Chase.
Oh.
Kris Jenner. Busy Phillips. You love her.
Too.
Katie Holmes, survivor of Scientology.
Yes, good for her.
Betty Davis, Elizabeth Taylor, Pamela Anderson, Bill Gates.
Wow.
Rudy Giuliani.
No.
And Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, RIP.
I did want to tell you that Lisa Vanderpump also has a Mars in Gemini, just like you. So you guys should be best friends.
I love you, Lisa, wherever you are.
So I just want to say again to the people, look through this stuff. Like it's serious and it's fun and all that. Like it's so helpful, but like, don't feel like you have to know all of it all the time.
No.
People like tap out of astrology and I don't blame them because it's so like expansive and like you think you know something and then there's like, well, what about this factor you haven't considered? And I understand that. But it is worth like looking at, even if it's just like a reminder of your Mars and like you find a good description that helps you. Like it is worth knowing that.
Well, because we're also sold that it's something like, oh, just know your sun sign. Like we said, like it's a party trick. But if you actually, even if just listening to these episodes, like they're so layered and expansive.
Yeah.
And they're all like coordinating and tying into other parts of yourself. And if you get, I mean, I would suggest getting a real astrological reading.
Yes,
they're
a real
like the
astrologist.
Thing.
Pay them, not just a website.
No, no, no,
find
no,
a real
no.
one.
Yeah, pay one. Like you can do it on Sanctuary.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the way they connect everything that's happening on your chart is like it'll blow your mind. Like
right,
and that's why people are like, "Oh, this is it's too much." But there's so much information, and if you can understand how it's all like interconnected and working together, it's a game changer.
And, you know, it's a good point that, like, it's all connected to, and, like, that you should have an astrologer help you out, because I know I had an astrology reading from an astrologer, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. But there would be parts of my chart that I didn't quite understand. But when they were, like, had that zoned out view of it, where they're like, well, this applies, but think of it in this sense, because this sign is in this, like, if you have someone who can do that for you, it's not just like, oh, yeah, I relate to that. It's like, someone wrote a manual on me
about me, right?
That, like, I could refer to when I break down or run out of gas or whatever the problem is.
Well, that's why billionaires have astrologers.
Yes, and don't believe people if they say they don't, because they do.
Oh no, they do.
All the major companies employ astrologers,
and like the monarchy has them.
Yes. How much does that grind your gears?
A lot. A lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The hypocrisy.
Yes.
Is incredible.
It really is.
But that's what they say is the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire is an astrologer.
Was it JP Morgan who said that, actually?
Said an astrologer.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is right. I didn't check this story beforehand in my research because I didn't know I was going to say it. But I believe it was JP Morgan that had a ticket on the Titanic.
And he didn't get on it.
And he didn't get on it because his astrologer said something about Neptune's placement.
Exactly.
I don't know if I have that exactly right, but it's something like that.
Yeah.
So astrology, everybody. It's really important. It's great to know your natal chart above all else, because even if you're looking at, like, what's the planets doing today, if you understand where you
are,
like, what house and what planet you are for that, like, yourself, it'll help you understand how it connects to what's going on right now.
Right. And like you always say, if you know that information about your children or your partner, even better, even more information.
And if you feel like that's overwhelming, you can go on a site like Cafe Astrology, and you can, for free, put in, you just need to know the location, the date and time of birth. Time is important.
Time is important.
And you, if you don't know that, Jamie didn't, she got a copy of her birth certificate and then found it out, so you can do that. Put that in, and then you can print it out. Because if you're going to try to memorize it, you're not going to. And just by looking at the sign, it's not enough.
Or you could copy it and paste it into your notes app on your phone.
That sounds specific. Is that what you did?
That's what I do. So, like, I have my kid's birth chart, so I can be like, oh, dude.
Yes. So just having it somewhere, or even if you just, maybe you don't keep good track of things, just look it up again.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, knowing that is going to help you, and having it at the ready, so when an issue does come up, because issues come up all the time, you can take a look at
exactly.
it. You can reference it. So I think it's fun. If you guys want us to continue to do astrology episodes, let us know. We love it.
We've hit the main ones. The main ones.
Yeah.
We can keep going if you want.
Yeah. Let us know what you're curious about, and we'll talk about it. But I don't know. I think we need coffee.
Definitely.
And we can discuss some strategies on how to get Lisa Vanderpump. Maybe that could be your opening line when you talk to her. Be like, hey, do you know we both have our Mars in Gemini?
She'd be like, get out of my restaurant.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode, or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.